Hi folks, how you doing? It's Friday and you're like, hold on a minute. Shouldn't be a new episode today. I know, but it's bonus time here on Soundtrackin'. Welcome along to another episode with me, Edith Bowman. Pleasure to be in your company. And the only reason that we really release bonus episodes is because we want to share amazing conversations with you about brilliant films. And that is exactly what today's is all about. As I am joined by writer-director Samuel Abrahams, who joins me to discuss his brilliant, funny, moving debut feature film, Lady. Stars Sian Clifford, and it tells the story of, she's kind of narcissistic member of the British aristocracy who hires a camera crew to film her life and make a documentary. It is by turns surreal, tender, outrageously funny, and really, really emotional because it packs a little punch, does this film. There's layers to it. There's more going on under the surface, is what I'll say. Sian's performance is extraordinary in this. It's a real collaborative effort in terms of everybody's contribution is what has made this film what it is. The costumes, the production design, the cinematography, the writing, the directing. It's so, so good. Quite a few of those people involved. This is their debut feature, as is with the composer. This was his first feature film, Johnny Woodley. So we're going to begin with his title track. Mate, it's absolutely brilliant. Oh, it's a bit of a breath of fresh air, to be honest. I just feel like when things come along that have clearly got their own voice, they're not trying to fit into anything. They are just, it's so refreshing. It really, really is. What was the catalyst for this story in this? Because it's deep, man. There's a lot going on. On surface level, you're like, this is brilliant and funny and crazy. But it's like, it's deep. There's a lot of layers to this. It's really clever.
Well, thank you. So the initial spark, I saw this video on YouTube that I thought might be the most inane video of all time. It might be the worst YouTube video of all time. And it was posted by someone who was aspiring to be an influencer, but it was almost as if they'd never seen content before. Like they didn't know what would make a good video, and they didn't know how to present themselves, and they didn't really know the right PC thing to say. This person was so out of touch from reality. And immediately I was hooked. I was like, this is something I want to subscribe to. And my partner Miranda and I, we wrote the film together. And so we were both watching these videos, and we might have been the only people. There was something that we were just kind of drawn to about this person who, I mean, it wasn't too far from like what I'm kind of doing. I want to make stuff, put it out in the world. I want people to see it. I want to enjoy it. And you want kind of recognition from it. I've got my own grubby relationship with that.
Yeah.
And I could really kind of empathize with what she's doing. I'm more of a coward. I'm like hiding behind the work I make. This person's just like making stuff, putting it out, as Isabella says, like chucking out the content. And you know, she's just putting this stuff out there, and it's drivel. It's absolute drivel. But there was something kind of beautiful in it, which is like, there's this, maybe like a misconception that putting stuff out there in the world is going to fill some kind of hole within you. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe that's what like making a film is as well. I don't know. I'm about to find out. But I just related to it. And I felt like it, even though we're wildly different, I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting take. So what if you have someone who really wants the world to see them? And then you pair it with someone who kind of wants to hide, but still wants eyeballs and attention. So that was kind of the catalyst for it, this kind of idea of a sort of two-hander that with these two characters that could be like an odd couple, but express this theme of wanting to be seen.
These characters are so kind of believable. I live out in Gloucestershire, right? There's quite a few of these ladies that you see. You know, I've met a few of them on the school run over the years. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like kind of thing. What's kind of tragic and brilliant at the same thing is that it feels like it's so steeped in reality, in that this is people's worlds. This could and is people's worlds. And I think that that's why you're immediately like in, like Sian's performances. I mean, all the performances are so brilliant. And that idea of kind of writing that, but given like her and Laurie, like the freedom to explore their individual drive and, you know, what their goal is, but then finding different routes through that relationship and what that kind of unveils and connects and all that. It's so fascinating and feels so real. Like in terms of writing the script and versus how much freedom you give your cast to explore and improvise and find things, but also finding that cast in the first place, like realizing who were the right people for these roles and why they were the right people. Because I imagine you went into this casting it going, well, I need someone who's got that ability to explore this character rather than just kind of, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Sorry, that
first
was a
off,
lot of
there was
questions.
a lot of questions, and I'll do my best. But I think when I was writing the script with Miranda, we just the voice of this character was so clear to us, Isabella's character. I mean, it just kind of came off the page. It was maybe harder for us to find the voice of Sam, the director, in it. And I think it was only really when we were like, right, we've got this idea of a character, and he's a director, and he's got a huge chip on his shoulder. Like, what should we call him? We're like, well, maybe we'll just call him me. And so it's those kinds of discoveries when you're writing, where it kind of like unlocks something, and then the characters become much more kind of vivid in your head. And then I think on the page, yeah, Isabella's character was a big character, and it did require a very bold performance and take. I mean, anyone who's seen the film like can't imagine anyone other than Sean playing Isabella. It's one hell of a performance, and I'm super. I feel very lucky to have just been around getting to watch it happen. And so, I think the early conversations with Sean was great. I mean, creatively, we're just so aligned. It's all about tone, really, this kind of stuff. When you're on the same frequency as someone, like when you're dialed into that and you're hitting the right tone, and it's all coming from a place of truth, like character truth, like kind of anything's funny at that point. If it's true, if it's got the vulnerability layered into it, then it all kind of works. And so it's just a lot of my job was A, casting it right, getting the right ensemble, and then creating the right kind of space for them to play. And like the house is such a fun playground for them. So I think, once they step into that and they step into the wardrobe, and I think then, I'm just sort of like, we've got the script, great blueprint. I think dialogue and and the structure of it is all there. But I just was able to give them a kind of the feeling of spontaneity and life. Like, we'd have really long takes, like 8 minute take, let's say.
Oh,
And then
wow.
at the end of it, you're going, okay, I've got like four notes for Laurie. I've got three things to talk to Sean about. I've got six things we need to go through with Korsha and our DP. There's a lot to hold in your head. But then it would just come alive. And it was such a joyful experience, really.
Like, I don't want to give too much away, sort of thing, for an audience who haven't seen it, but there's, how would you describe it? There's,
I think you can say it. I mean, like a surreal loss of her sense of self. She becomes.
Which manifests itself in such a clever and unexpected way. There we go. That's
I
without giving.
love clever. That's great. I mean,
Yeah, well, it really
it's
is though,
also
because
silly. Do you know what I
unexpected
mean?
and silly,
Yeah.
but yes,
Yeah.
but it's unexpected. But then you're like, of course, that is such a brilliant choice.
Well, that's kind of like growing up on 90s high concept comedies. Like, you see Bill Murray just lives the same day over and over again. Or like Jim Carrey can't lie. Or like you can climb inside of Malkovich's head. Those kinds of big ideas were always kind of like drew me in. And so making a film, I had this the script and the shape of Lady. Without this idea, it was something kind of televisual about it. It wasn't quite a movie yet for me. And so that when kind of like exploring, okay, if this was the 90s high concept comedy, what would it be? What would her worst nightmare be? And it sort of gave me this big sort of conceit that felt visual, it felt cinematic, it felt sort of worthy of being in the cinema. And also just, it's kind of that kind of thing that would hook me in. But then by the end of the story, kind of lands this, deeper meaning about humanity. And so that's, immediately I was like, right, now I have a film.
The kind of visual language of the film as well, like the film within the film almost, you know, this that immediately takes us as an audience into this environment and into her world. And I mean, that house, where was it? What is it?
It's
What a
still
gift.
there. Yeah, what a gift. I mean, like, you know, in a film where I don't have many characters to play with, this is a small movie, low budget movie. You know, one of the ideas you're coming up with is like, well, it's got to be in one location. And I need, like, it's a two-hander. But, you know, this idea of a lady in her sort of gilded prison, you know, you want this kind of fabulous house, which is a distraction from her not dealing with some darker stuff and trauma that she doesn't have the tools to cope with. So the house and her wardrobe is this sort of, all these colors and textures and opulence is all distracting her from that stuff. And so the house, we're very fortunate. We've been to Summerlayton before, and then I was kind of like, ooh, that would be good, you know. And then it kind of meant that Miranda and I could, you know, knowing the house and the geography of it, go, okay, right, this is how the movement of it, which was just such a big part of it. Again, when you're working in one location, you want to maximize it, you know, you want to kind of draw as much out of it as you can. And I felt like we really got to do that.
But I imagine for Sean as well, like the idea that she's almost kind of like, you know, in a way kind of living there, you know, feeds into that performance, the swashing around in the corridors and down the staircases and all that kind of thing. It's like, that's a lovely kind of gift for her, I imagine, in terms of the ownership, I guess, of that space in a way.
It is a huge gift to the performance. And I think what's great is, I remember when Sean and I went on a recce there early on when we were sort of developing, you know, kind of just early chats about the character.
Yeah.
And she'd already signed on, but we went and had a day there, you know, just sort of showing her around the place and talking about how her character would exist in this house and her relationship with it. It's what she kind of defines herself by, right? And she has a very physical relationship with the house. If you look, she's always making a connection with it. She's touching the house. She's caressing it. She's grounding herself. She kind of needs it, or she thinks she does.
Yeah, it's and like a safety net, isn't it?
It's a safety net, but it's also her prison.
Yeah.
And that was the really fun thing for us to get to play with.
I see where he's trying to get her to go to Norwich in the car. And kind of like, that's just, it's that beautiful tone that you've created of really kind of funny moments, but some of them are really steeped in genuine kind of trauma and the physicality of not being able to do the thing she knows she should do, but she can't.
The real joy of getting to work with, you know, the actors like I have in this film, and especially with Sean playing Isabella, is that she sort of so skilled as an actor, and also the instincts are just, I mean, kind of blown away by it every day. I mean, just to sort of know the comedy really only works when it's layered with the vulnerability beneath it.
Yeah.
That's the thing that makes it funny. And it's the gap between, this huge gap between the person she is projecting to the world or wants the world to think she is and the thing that she's hiding from us. And and the audience seeing that gap. You know, I mean, like, there is a version on the page in the wrong hands. This is not, you know, some people, audiences could be really put off by this character. But I think it's a testament to Sean's ability and hopefully the kind of tone of the film that it's a performance that it has a lot of warmth beneath it.
Yeah, totally. I know what I'm dressing up as at Halloween as well.
Yes. Let's do it.
The talent show. That is, it's so moving.
Oh, that's lovely.
It's, even in that scene, the kind of journey that we go on as an audience with that character and those relationships, and it's amazing. It's so, so great. What's the relevance of the crows?
So here's the thing, making a very low budget movie, you're kind of just borrowing and stealing. At Summerlayton Hall, the location where we filmed this is in Suffolk, they had a pet raven.
Oh, it's a raven, not a crow.
Well, but I mean, like, a pet, a raven who was a pet. And I mean, come on, can we use that as well as the house? And then, of course, I'm like, oh, wait. So the house could be called Ravenhide. That could be good. And okay. And Sean loves animals. So this was a great sell for her. It just started to gain all this kind of, symbolism that we could explore through her artwork. And there's this great poem on grief, The Raven Evermore, I think it is. We kind of play on that. It just kind of is one of those opportunities that just came about, and then you run with it.
Yeah. Did you go into it with the intention of it having a real journey for people who are grieving, who are dealing with grief? Was that a theme that you were keen to explore, did it find its own way in?
It's a strange one, that, because I look back on the writing process, and that was very early on, and before even Sam's character was really there. There was always this. It was really because the very initial idea of the character is someone who's hiding from something,
yeah,
but sort of aggressively throwing out this idea of themselves to the world, but like unable to see themselves. And so it came very early on, it's a kind of personal thing, and just it kind of clicked for me. And it's kind of there beneath everything.
Yeah.
But it's also not like it's just a movie about that at all.
Yeah, of course. That's what I mean about the layers of it. It's really, and I'm sure that with multiple views as well, depending on how you are when you're watching it, you'll take a slightly different sort of focus, I guess, within it as well. It's so great. Music, then.
Yeah, go on.
Is it Johnny's feature debut?
Yeah.
Whoa,
yeah.
Okay. Why him? And then what was your kind of journey to, working out what the film would and wouldn't need musically? Because that's as big a question, I think, as well as what you want. It's what you don't want.
First off, I mean, you're kind of using music a lot just in the process of making a film anyway. I mean, when writing, I'm making playlists, and then, and I'd be sharing that with Sian, and that's sort of getting her in character. And
what kind of stuff's on that then?
Yeah, so you know what, a funny one, I was just thinking about this morning. I always said to Sian, like, the first moment she comes out and reveals herself to the character, I think she's playing Enya's Orinoco Flow in her head. It works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think we even played it, actually. I was like, go on, just pump it out, just for
blast
the
out.
For it. Yeah. And so, it would be stuff like that. And also then we shot the film over 15 days at Summerlayton. And those 15 days were the best days of my life. I mean, having my children. And then
it's
those
a different
days,
part of the life. Yeah.
It's a different part of the life.
Yeah.
And I remember just driving to the location. I mean, we were all on the estate, but staying in different places. And so I would have this like 5-minute drive. So enough for a song. And so every morning I would have like my go-to, for whatever reason, was what's the Kate Bush, Hounds of Love, Kate Bush song.
Nice.
And it just like something about like driving up to that house with that song playing. And I was like, I was just in Isabella's like emotional space.
It's in the trees. It's coming.
When I was a child, running in the night, afraid of what I might be, hiding in the dark, hiding in the street, and a world was full of enemies. The hounds of love are haunting me. I've always been a coward. I don't know what's good.
I have all these great memories. And also Korshan, our DP, he would, at the end of like every rap every day, he would play, what's the, you know, in Anatomy of a Fall, they had that cover of Pimp.
Oh, yes.
With the steel, rhythm and steel band. I don't know what if it has a different name, but he would just play this when we would rap at the end of the day, and we would just all be sort of like doing this really silly dance around this ridiculous house. I think music just feels like it's a huge part of the process of making something. And I think, you know, we've got this, like our one needle drop in the film that happens in a kind of big moment for Isabella. And I mean, somehow we got The Who to agree to us using Barbara O'Reilly.
How did you manage that?
I don't know. I mean, I certainly didn't manage it. Great job by our music supervisor and producers to figure that one out. Because I had it basically in the edit from the very first day of cutting that scene. I was like, this is the song. And then, of course, every screening with my producers, they're like, yes, but have you thought about any other ones? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, it's The Who.
It's good. It's really good. It just kind of works. Like, yeah. And of course, there was always like, you're going to have to find something else. I mean, it's just not going to happen. And somehow they made it work. So I'm eternally grateful for that. Out here in the fields, I fought for my meals. I get my back into my living. I don't need to fight to prove. And then so working with Johnny,
yeah,
just a great talent. And when we first met, everything he said just like chimed with the film. He spoke about wanting to make something that was sort of decorative but blunt, and like all these things that just felt like of Isabella's character. And there's these two different sides to it. One, like, it's kind of what we've been talking about, the aggressive,
sharp, sort of, isn't it? It's sharp, kind of like, yeah,
in your face, like what she's projecting. And then there's the stuff she's not dealing with. And this the sort of emotional layer beneath that. And so getting to work on those two different sounds with Johnny was a real treat. I mean, it's such a talent. And I can't wait for people to dig out the soundtrack as well.
Yeah. With that, though, it's so interesting, you know, in terms of for you finding the right collaborator to work with on that side of things. And then for him at the very, you know, at the start of a career in this world, getting that someone giving him that opportunity and stuff. How did you find each other? You know, what was that? How did you find him? And what was it about him that you felt like, I want to at least talk to Johnny about this? Cause I think there's something in what he's doing.
Well, there's a part of the process where, I mean, you know, we've done a lot of the edit and, you know, it's kind of temped, which is a strange process, really, temping. Yeah. Because it's never quite your film. It feels like it's someone else's. It's a really strange thing. I don't know if I would necessarily like to do that again. It would be great to bring someone in earlier, to be honest. My producers have been just getting reels together and listening to a lot of, you know, met with some great people. It was just the conversation together with the pieces, and just the way he spoke about it. It's kind of like, you know, meeting with Sean for the first time or meeting with Laurie. It's like, oh, we're dialed in. We're just like, we're at the same frequency and we're seeing and hearing and feeling the same movie. And that's so rare, really. It's just quite hard to find. That's the thing. It's all tone. You know, everything is just getting towards this one thing that's really, really distinctively its own thing. And when someone comes along and like Johnny, and just he's got it as a vibe, as a person, as a, you know, and just as a talent, then it's like, yeah, got to work with that person. Mm. And listen, it's my first film, and it was so many
wow.
First film. So, you know, why not?
First film, man, well done. Oh my God, that's nuts.
Thank you.
It's so important though, because the kind of the idea that they're shooting, you know, they're filming a documentary as well. You can't have too much music in there as well, because it kind
Yeah.
of it detracts from us being there with them whilst actuality is happening, sort of thing as well. So that must have been a really interesting journey in the edit in terms of working out where you needed music as well.
Yeah, it's a huge part of it. I think my editor Josh, I think it was his first feature as well. He had great instincts for this. Like, I think whenever you're kind of nervous that, like, oh, an audience is like might be getting bored here, you know, chuck something on it. And he was better. He had great instincts for the kind of, you know, music edit as well, just because that's kind of something you're editing. It's not just picture, but how the sound works with the picture. And so, yeah, I was just lucky. I got to work with some really talented people. And that is how you make a film. Surround yourself with
collaboration.
Yeah, it is. That's all it is. Yeah.
What was the edit like? It's not a long shoot.
No.
You
but we shot
are.
A lot. We
Yeah,
shot
I was going to say,
a lot.
How was that, you know, kind of that first day in that? Or are you shooting, or are you cutting dailies, I think, are they called, on the along all that kind of thing? Or are you just like, let's.
Our crew was like, there was like 12 of us.
Wow.
It's 15 days, 12 people. Like,
wow.
No,
what a
at
lovely
night.
holiday.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, every evening, I'd watch some of the rushes with the producers,
yeah,
like on my laptop.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not like a formal thing. And then I, interestingly, once we'd finished the shoot, I went and put together an assembly on my own. Again, I don't know if that's something I would do, but it, you know, it was my first film, first feature. And I'm like, okay, let's just get a handle of these rushes. And so that was like 3 hours, 15 minutes long. It just had every single beat in it, you know. And I showed it to my producers. I'm like, there we go. There it is.
See ya.
Yeah. No notes. But of course, knowing that, right, now we need to bring an editor in and help me kind of shape this thing. It was more like for me just to sort of get everything. I mean, like working with those actors, it's just, oh my God. So I'm starting a scene, you know, early and coming out of it late, which is what you don't do in an edit. It's like the opposite. But it was a great way of just making this thing feel authentic and real, and just creating the tone. And I mean, there's so much funny stuff that's on the cutting room floor. But
DVD extras.
Yeah. God, I love a DVD.
Fingers, me too. Spend days watching DVD extras.
That's basically how I learned how to make films. Commentary tracks.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, keep making DVDs, everybody. Yeah. Please keep making DVDs. I'm so excited to watch next. So I'm just, you know, this is an incredible first feature. It's a breath of fresh air, because it's so unique, and it just is a brilliant, brilliant experience watching the film. It really is.
That's lovely to hear. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for your time. That has literally flown by. That's nuts. I really hope we get to do it again soon.
Yes, I'd love that.
Listen, loads of best wishes for release as well.
Thank
Not
you
like
so
you
much.
Need it.
I'm absolutely terrified.
You smash it, mate. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Neither.
Totally. Thank you for your time.
No, thank
Bye,
you.
Guys.
Thank you.
From the score to Lady, that's The Lake, rounding off this latest episode of Soundtracking with the wonderful Samuel Abrahams. My huge thanks to Sam and the team behind the scenes as well for taking the time to talk to us and facilitate that and kind of rush through some time for me to catch up with Sam. Lady is on general release in the UK now. It is a little independent film. It is not going to be shown everywhere, but please do try, seek it out and go and see it. Get along to support if you can. Head to edithbowman.com to catch up with every single episode of the podcast, while you can follow us on your socials. We're at Soundtracking UK. We also have a little YouTube channel. It's called Soundtracking Extra, where we put loads of additional content up there. So if you haven't already checked that out, please do that and subscribe. Next up, we'll bring you our Soundtrack and Film Club in partnership with Range Rover at Everyman Whiteley's with the wonderful George Jakes and Neil Patrick Harris to join me to discuss their little film that is also out in cinemas now and well worth seeing. It's called Sunny Dancer. And it's the story of Ivy, played by Bella Ramsey, who is signed up to a camp by her mother and father. But the difference about this camp is the camp is full of kids who are all in remission from dealing with cancer diagnosis. It is an extraordinary, powerful film written and directed by George. And we were thrilled to have them join us at one of our Soundtrack and Film Clubs in partnership with Range Rover. And I'm going to share that with you on Monday. I very much look forward to the pleasure of your company then.